Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Bears. My name is Joey Christopoulos with my co-host Corey Wooten. Thank you so much for checking us out on SiriusXM and for watching us right now on YouTube. Like and comment below. We're coming with a great action-packed episode in about 40 seconds. But first, we got to talk about our sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Look, fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines is at BetOnline.ag. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting to props and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEV50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming into the pod. We have a fantastic guest here today to talk about Bears training camp. But let's first bring in my co-host. He's former Bears defensive end, Northwestern's finest, Fox 32, Chicago's very own, and a man who knows something about Cheesecake Factory. It's Corey. What's up, Corey?
Oh, nothing. Just still recovering, man. I ate a lot yesterday. I fasted. I told you before we logged on, I fasted the whole day to save room for the cheesecake, the nachos, the strawberry cheesecake, the bacon cheeseburger. You know the moves, man.
They're talking a lot of training camp about doing body fat measuring with Eberflus' camp right now. I don't know how it would fare today. Maybe it would have been better off a little bit yesterday. Let's bring our guest here. We're so happy and welcome to have her on. She's been on with us before, but she's back here to talk about Bears training camp. She has been at Bears training camp the last couple of days. It's WGN's Caitlin Sharkey. Hello, Caitlin. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good to see you both. Thanks for having me on. And I'm excited to talk about camp. This is the exciting part of the season that we have to cherish, right? Everything's new and fresh and exciting.
Hope springs eternal. And man, I don't know, that connection with Bayless Jones and Justin Fields. Let's talk all about it, Caitlin. I mean, you were there the first couple of days of camp. You know, Bears fans are already getting all this information off of Twitter. You've seen it with your own eyes. You know, what was your biggest takeaway from those first couple of days? And maybe what did you walk away with? What are you most excited about right now for this Bears camp?
I think the biggest thing that is most striking when you're watching, and even fans that are there can attest to, they're hustling, they're running, they're conditioning. They do not waste time. There's no walking between drills, which we saw a lot in years past. As soon as that horn blows, they're sprinting to the next drill. They do a lot of spontaneous situational football. So the last couple of days we've seen, you know, some false starts and things like that. But like Luke Getsy was talking about how they just throw that in there, so it's not planned. So it creates this kind of sense of chaos. So you can just see the energy level is up, conditioning, accountability, all of those things that we heard Eberflus talk about, but you're not really sure how that's going to look or translate when they start practicing. So it's obvious. And I think it's exciting to me just to see all the new faces. Like, there are so many. I look at the roster and I'm going, I'm like trying to learn names and numbers. And yeah, like, who is that? Like, who's, and even to see like different numbers that were of former players out there now with new looking, you know, players. It's just, it's so cool though, because you know, everyone, there's like this refreshment, like, energy like that's there. So it's exciting at this point on camp.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So got a question for you. So I'm always eyeing the offense and defensive lines. What has kind of been your observation between both of those groups thus far? Kind of anybody stand out to you? I know training camp just started, but is there anybody that stand out in particular on either side of the ball?
I think if you're talking, I mean, the offensive line is going to be a storyline every single day of camp, because there's a lot to figure out in a short amount of time for these guys. And they're dealing with some injuries. Tevin Jenkins has not been in practice the last couple of days. He's working with something with the trainer. Eberflus is very hush hush about injuries. He's already set that standard. So Lucas Patrick has to have surgery, but he's expected to be back. So you take those pieces out and then you're like, okay, now who's going to fit where? Like, Riley Reiff coming in, Michael Schofield coming in. I think they did a good job of adding like the veteran leaders, but also understanding like what positions they're going to play. And right now it is a carousel. Like, they are just, Braxton Jones is getting his time. Like, it's just constantly moving. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, now that Lucas Patrick is on sideline for a little bit, who, if it, like, Mustafer is going to play center, like, what's going to happen there? So that part's intriguing. So I usually spend most of the practice watching the O-line, because I'm just like, how is this going to hold? Like, what is this O-line going to look like when they open the season? Defensively, the D-line, I mean, I feel like they're strong. They're gritty, and the fact that Eberflus is a defensive-minded coach, and Corey, you could probably speak to this, you can just tell that tenacity is something that he wants to make sure is apparent all the time. And you can already see that. So it's like the trickle down of having the defensive coach as the head coach is like, even Cole Kmet was joking with us yesterday about like, he's nasty, he's gritty. You can tell that's the difference playing for a defensive head coach. So I think both of those lines, the D line, I think it is, there's going to be moving parts, but it's not going to be the storyline or something to watch that like that O-line is going to be.
So what has been your observations of a guy who I think is going to have a breakout year? He had a great year last year, Eberflus, Al-Kadim Muhammad. He actually went to my high school in New Jersey, but he had a breakout year last year as a first-time starter. I think he's going to be a guy that gets double digits, especially playing opposite Robert Quinn. What have you seen from him thus far?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're really excited about him. He has a presence about him. So it's like, you know where he's at, you know that he's out there. And I think that's something that it seems obvious, but you don't always get that. And the coaches take note of it. They speak very highly of him. So I think the expectations are very high. And I mean, even to talk about Robert Quinn, yesterday we were watching Quinn kind of coach up these guys. And I think it was kind of a cool moment to see, because he's kind of all doing his own thing there. He's kind of in his own program right now in this ramp up period, but he's still doing a lot of coaching. So I think like his knowledge plus that young new talent and guys like Muhammad, it's going to be a good combo.
That's awesome to see.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball for Bears fans out there. On a scale of one to highest level of concern, it was great to see Robert Quinn in camp, and it looks like he's been on the grass and he's been playing. If you could talk to Bears fans right now, how concerned should they be about this Roquan Smith situation? He's in the building. He's not practicing. In your estimation right now, do you think an extension gets done before week one of the season?
I hope so, and I think it will, because I feel like if they really felt like they were that far away from that, I don't think that Roquan would be there riding the stationary bike at practice. Like,
he'd be at home.
Exactly. Like, I'm thinking my own self. Like, I don't, if an employer didn't know they wanted me, I don't know if I'm showing up to like be there and be present, like while they're just trying to figure that out.
The employee food discount. Yeah. Get that food discount while you can, and just, you know, whatever.
So, I mean, I think a lot of it, we were like joking with Eberflus because he wouldn't tell us why Roquan was on the PUP list, but like, we were joking, like, if he got a contract, would he now be able to perform? Like, and he was like, I'm not going to talk about that, but
100%, 100%. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense, but he's there and he's present. And I think that says a lot. Like, obviously they miss him on the field at this point, but like, if they have him for the season, that's their guy. That's their core of their defense. That's a good news. So I feel hopeful. I think it's going to happen. Yeah.
Corey, I want to ask you real quick just about like Roquan, because I've seen this on Twitter, and maybe we can dispel a notion right now.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like business as usual, right? New regime comes in, star player wants to get paid. That's where they're butting heads right now. Mm-hmm. There's some people that are trying to equate the negotiation with the fact that they're switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and whether Roquan will play, you'll play middle or weak linebacker. Does that have anything to do with the leverage of negotiation, in your opinion? Because Bears fans seem to think that now that we're moving to the 4-3, Roquan won't be worth as much. I find that to be ridiculous. Yeah. Can you dispel that notion,
please? Yeah, that's definitely ridiculous. I think he could play a multitude of positions at the linebacker. He could play middle. He could play, weak. He could play whatever you want. I just think it comes down to they're trying to get this contract figured out. There's no doubt in my mind they will get this figured out before the season, because he's an integral part of this defense. He's one of the rising stars in this league. He's one of the best linebackers in the league. So it's just about contract negotiation, because like Caitlin said, if it wasn't in the works now, he'd be at home right now, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact he's there, he's like, I'm not risking myself an injury while you're trying to negotiate everything. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand. They say, oh, he doesn't want to be there, this, that, and the other. It is a business, and people forget that all the time. They say, well, will you do this? If somebody has a regular corporate job, right, and they don't feel like they're getting paid what they should, sometimes they might go somewhere else. They might seek other opportunities out there. But people don't equate that to football. They think it doesn't translate. You got to be a team player, and you got to be this. Listen, I understand when you're under contract and you are happy in your situation and you're playing in the right contract, you do everything you can for your team. But right now, his job is to get as much money as he can, because he's earned that. So I understand completely with him sitting out. And I think mm-hmm. more players should do that, because the thing is, if he would get injured in training camp, that contract would be, let's see what he is when he comes back. And then he'd come a 1 year deal after that. So I get it. I get it 100%.
TJ Watt just did this last year. Mm-hmm. First mm-hmm. one. And then second one is, well, I'm sure the Bears and his agent are talking all the time. Roquan Smith is his own agent. Yeah. So his own agent is in Hallis Hall right now. So I just want to make sure we kind of clear that up for Bears fans. And I'm with you guys. Hopefully it does get done a little bit. We're with WGN's Caitlin Sharkey here on Believe in Bears. Let's move over to some of the more glamorous sides of training camp. The offensive weapons and Justin Fields working. Mm-hmm. There are a plethora of wide receivers right now in camp trying to become that wide receiver two next to Darnell Mooney. Have any of them flashed, or is there just one just in general that has you the most intrigued right now heading into camp?
I mean, N'Keal Harry is intriguing in just his situation and the chip on his shoulder that he has and why he thinks he's going to fit well in Chicago, because of his blocking ability and his size. And he is big. He is a very large individual. That storyline, like his past, and that is very intriguing to me. He hasn't had the flashiest moments in camp quite yet, but I think it's also been 2 days, like 3 days of camp. Like, what am I, I don't put any weight in on that yet. But to me, EQ Equanimeous St. Brown is a guy that I am very intrigued to see what he's able to do with Justin Fields, because Luke Getsy talked about it yesterday, both of them being in Green Bay. Like, EQ, it's not that it didn't work out or he wasn't good enough in Green Bay. He was surrounded by elite talent. Like, you're not going to argue those reps or take them away from Davante Adams, and he just didn't have a place there. So he comes here, now he's got a place. And I think, and Darnell Mooney almost yesterday also said, I have to trust that these guys are gonna make plays. Like, I can't go get every pass. And I think Mooney's got to protect himself a little bit in that regard, and they have to be able to use those weapons. But EQ for sure. Pringle hasn't had the best start to camp yet either, but it's still early. Getsy said drop passes, right? Happen.
Drops.
Yeah.
Drops. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard from seeing on Twitter. That's the thing you see, right mm-hmm. away. It's drops early on. It's hot. You got to wipe your hands off. You got to secure the football. So as you see early on a lot. What have you seen from Cole Kmet? Because I talked mm-hmm. to Joey and a bunch of people, and I think he's a guy that's really going to be a threat in the red zone. And I've compared where I think his ceiling is, and it's kind of like a Kyle Rudolph in his mm-hmm. Pro Bowl tenure there. I think it's somebody that could have, anywhere from 600, 800 yards receiving, have a lot of touchdowns in the red zone. Have you seen anything that 7-on-7 or kind of red zone periods where they kind of connected together?
Yeah. I mean, Fields and Kmet had a connection down the seam yesterday that kind of was the catch of camp. It was very impressive. And they talked about the work that they did together in Atlanta and how that paid off. So I feel like they're finally there's a million reasons I felt bad for Cole in the offense last year, but the fact that there was their quarterback carousel, there was no chemistry. So now you add in the chemistry plus the natural development you hope of the player Cole as he gets more advanced in his career, that's going to be good. And the red zone threat, absolutely. He has to be their guy, because now Jimmy Graham's not running in there just to grab a touchdown and leave. That's what Jimmy, and I would joke with Cole last season, I know you're doing all the work, and then Jimmy's running in there and getting that touchdown, and then he's taking off. Yeah, getting all those stats and stuff. But I think they're gonna have to lean on Cole a lot, which will be interesting to see in this scheme. But everyone's excited about the scheme. Their eyes light up when they talk about how it's gonna work for the players that they have right now, maximizing their talents. And I think we're gonna see the benefits of that with Cole specifically.
And an extension of that, and Corey, I'd love to have you weigh in on this one too as well. Caitlin, when you were last on Believe in Bears, we were still searching for a Bears head coach, and it's crazy, right? But we had mentioned mm-hmm. a name. You were talking about Nathaniel Hackett at the time, mm-hmm. who eventually went to the Broncos and now is going to be running the unit out there. The Bears were able to secure Luke Getsy, mm-hmm. The passing game coordinator from the Packers of last year. And I think one of the big mysteries for Bears fans heading into this season is I don't think they quite understand how different this offense is going to look. And you just kind of touched upon it a little bit. Can you expand a little bit more about maybe what you've seen from a Packers offense of previous years, what Getsy's going to bring to the table, and Corey weigh in too as well, of mm-hmm. how we really think this offense is going to look different, not just the names on the back of the jerseys, but also the way that the schemes are set up a little bit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Mooney talked about it a little bit yesterday without giving us too much of the scheme, just the flow of it. I think it's not going to be so, there were many times they lined up last year and I'm like, I don't know if they even have confidence in what they're about to run here. I don't think that's going to be the case. Like there was like, are we sure we want to do this? Like everyone's looking down the line. Like that's how I felt sitting up in the press box watching. So I can only imagine how they felt on the field. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have that this year. And obviously right now, like there's a lot of newness to it and they still have a long way to go, but I think it's what they can do off the run, like different things that are going to maximize Justin's talents and his footwork and his physicality. And then not to mention they have running backs that can run the ball pretty well. So like, you can't look at like, and this is what the heart, everyone's like Luke Getsy's offense from Green Bay. Like you can't look at it like in those eyes. It's a completely different offense. He had Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Now we have Justin Fields. So it's a little different and there's going to be a learning curve, but I feel like there's not going to be this disorganization, disjointed. It's just going to flow better. Corey, I don't know if you agree.
Like you mean no more third and two with the good
toss
run?
Sweep.
Yeah, toss sweep, gun run, you know, stuff like that.
I see it in my nightmares. My mind.
Exactly. They never saw it coming.
But I couldn't agree with you more, Caitlin, as far as being a run first team. You know, I think they're going to be 60-40, you know, in favor of the run. And they're really going to try to set stuff up. And I told Joey this. I think they're going to really try to get Justin Fields' confidence. How you do that? Mm-hmm. Really build the running game. And I think this offensive line, their strength is run blocking, right? Mm-hmm. And we kind of have a lot of moving parts. We're trying to figure out the left tackle, the right tackle. But how do you get them help? You know, you run the football right, you run the football left, you get some rollouts, some sprints, some boots, things of that nature to take off the pressure of the O-line and Justin Fields. And yeah, like you said, this is going to be completely different because you had Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and what he can do. I mean, he's arguably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. You know, Justin Fields still has a long way to go. And I think the thing is, Getsy is going to cater this offense to him, something that Matt Nagy and company never did with Justin Fields. So Justin Fields can't play, can't do this. Well, they didn't really help him out. And people understand, you know, in this league, you have to get people's confidence up. You look at a guy like Cam Newton when he first came in the league and what they were able to do, you know, get the running game going, take the pressure off him. And he did really well with that. You know, he threw for like 190 yards on average, a touchdown here, a rushing touchdown. He's very efficient. He didn't turn the football over, but they relied on good defense and running the football. And I think that's what the Chicago Bears are going to do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. Just a couple more questions here with WGN's Caitlin Sharkey here on Believe in Bears. Let's go to Justin Fields. Early in camp, there's a lot of – we keep kind of referencing Twitter, but there's a lot of – he's changed his motion a little bit. Looks like he's tightened it up a little bit. When the bullets fly, let's see if that can kind of maintain throughout the regular season. But, you know, heading into year two, what is it, you know, you get a chance to put your eyes on him. What is it? What is he passing in terms of the eye test right now? Maybe not exactly the plays, what's going on 7-on-7, but a lot of people are talking about just the comfortability, the way he's carrying himself. What have you just kind of noticed from Justin Fields and is he resonating with teammates? And just talk a little bit about, you know, what this training camp means to him and this Bears organization heading into the regular season.
I think you can see the fact that he knows this is his team to lead now. He has to be the leader. Last year, he didn't have that, and they were in such a weird situation where it's like he had Nick Foles in there, he had Andy Dalton in there. Like, it was just he's the starting quarterback. There's no question about that this year, and that is such a valuable, like Corey was just talking about confidence-wise, that is such a valuable piece of success because he knows he's the guy. Like, when Darnell was talking about it yesterday, when he stays after practice, guys follow him because they see his example, like, oh, Justin's about to throw some extra routes. All right, I'm going to stay and I'm going to work with him. Like, that makes a difference. He's obviously all the technical stuff, his footwork has changed, and that the quarterbacking obviously is going to progress. And we're going to see how much progress he's actually made year one to year two, but just his whole demeanor. I mean, he was always very like mature and calm and confident in himself, but he said he's learned the failures and the ups and downs last year. That taught him a very important lesson. And I feel like now he's more prepared for it too. So like, if things, like, they know they're not winning every game this year. I'm going to just say it that way. He's more mentally prepared for that. And when things go like wrong in a game than he was last year. So he's just in a different mindset to me watching him. Just the way he carries himself. He's the leader now. He's in charge.
Exactly. And to continue on the offensive side, you kind of briefly touched about, you know, Riley Reiff being there, Braxton Jones. What have you kind of seen between those two? And I love the signing of Reef because he's a veteran guy. He's a guy I played against in the leagues, played a lot of games at left tackle in particular. I know last year he played right tackle, but majority of his career is left tackle. So I feel like it's a good safe option if Braxton Jones is not ready. So what kind of have you seen between those two thus far?
Yeah, Riley is really excited about the opportunity to like be here, and he prefers the left. So I think they're going to – I mean, it's a lot – as much as Braxton Jones is impressive, it's a lot to ask for a rookie to play that position in football. Like, you're the guy. You can't mess up, because we do not want Justin to go through like what he did in Cleveland. Like that, again, that's a game that gives me nightmares, and I'm sure it gives him nightmares. That can't happen again. And so it's like they rotate a lot right now. But I think the value that Riley also adds is like talking to Braxton Jones, teaching him, coaching him. He's like, I have no problem coaching a guy that could potentially take my starting spot. So that's one going to be interesting to watch, but I think it's whoever is the most solid in that position, whether it's Riley or Braxton, but they're both — the fact that Braxton's even in there and is getting as many reps as he is shows the trust that the coaching staff has him, and is a credit to him. So they need to be like sponges and soak up all that information now from some of the vets on that O line, because it's crucial, because they don't have time. Like exactly. Riley was talking about, like, we got to get this figured out, and we got to get it figured out quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. I think they're probably leaning towards Braxton Jones. They're probably giving him the front running spot. And if he doesn't play well enough, they know they have an option in Reef that can play. And I was telling Joey,
right or left.
Exactly. And I was telling you, Joey, I think Braxton Jones could potentially be like a Charles Leno, a guy they found in the late rounds that can be a multi-year starter for the Bears and be their left tackle for a while. He has the athleticism. Now it's like live stuff. Cause you know, sometimes in practice, one-on-one drills, you know, they're pinning their ears back, you know, it's a pass rush, but when everything's flying and you know, things are going on, can he hold up against a top pass rusher, especially, you know, the best pass rushers in the league are coming off that side. So whenever they get to the preseason, I think that's really going to be telling, or if they do any inter-squad scrimmages, how he fares up against the opposing guys. Because sometimes you're going against the same guy, you know his tendencies, you know his moves, and then, you know, it really comes down to when you go against the other guys.
I'm just so happy that they did it. They brought in two professionals, honestly, that you guys are nailing it perfectly. Whether they are all pros or pro bowlers should be our Bears fans concern this year. It's really about trying to teach and solidify, raise the floor a little bit. I think all the times about like an NBA team that goes young and they just bring in and it's just 22, 23, 24 year olds. And there isn't that 30 year old to teach them, like, you know, just the ins and outs a little bit of the position and what it takes. I just think it's a nice blend when you're trying to like rebuild and kind of make it happen. So hopefully, you know, they can all stay healthy, like Lucas Patrick coming back hopefully soon, and can make it happen. Caitlin, my question for you is, as it stands today, what is the strongest position group on the Bears right now?
I was thinking about this last night because
not
I was
easy.
Like, what? Okay, I'm going down the list, and I thought running back. Like, I feel like we're not talking about the running backs, and that's a good thing, because we know what the running back room is, and it's a good room, and it's a good place to be. And I'm like, that's to me. And I'm like, I find myself not even watching them in practice, because it's like, I know they're good. Like, David's going to do his, Khalil, like it's a good situation right now for them. So I would say the running back group's probably the strongest, because we know what we're going to get.
And speaking of the running back room, I know it's early on in camp, but what has kind of been the breakdown between, you know, Montgomery and Herbert? Like, how have they been as far as reps? I know Montgomery is number one, but are they kind of splitting it pretty evenly, or is it more in favor of Montgomery?
I mean, I feel like it's Montgomery dominant, but I think just like we saw last year, it worked them kind of going back and forth. So if there's one thing that I'm going to credit to that offense last year and like what worked well, was having Khalil come in and get those bursts. And because it's so fun to watch, even yesterday in team drills, David just running. Like, he still refuses to stop. He's just like going full speed, like tearing guys away. And I'm like, David, it's day two. Like, it's gonna, you know, like, you're up. It's gonna be a long couple of weeks. But knowing that they still have that same energy, and he's forever motivated by a lot of things in his life. And I respect that in David. So I think they're gonna do a lot of back and forth, but right now it's 32's show.
Nice. Yeah, it's gonna be a highly motivated game in Montgomery. And honestly, you know, Corey, I mean, you talk about it all the time. I mean, I think the running game is probably the greatest source for optimism for this Bears season. I mean, if they can lean on that, if they can count on that, especially in those third and five situations, yep. take the heat off of Justin Fields, help the defense off. It could be that key that sort of unlocks, hopefully, a season that maybe surprises a lot of people, a lot of experts out there that don't think the Bears are going to win too many games. Caitlin, we're going to get you out of here on this. And Corey, if you want to weigh in too, because Caitlin, I'm always asking Corey, you know, what's it like at training camp? You know, talk to me about the dorm. You got to get yourself a big industrial fan. You got to have your movies, your Xbox, whatever it is. So my question for you is, how does the Bears beat get ready for training camp? How do you guys prep? Do you have to pass a conditioning test?
Oh, no, thank God.
But I'm sure you could do it. I'm sure you could do it. We were joking about that.
Yeah.
It is a fun time, though, right, to see everyone from all the different outlets, get a little camaraderie. We're all back together and everything at House Hall.
Just it's the best.
Talk a little bit about what that's like.
Yeah, this is the most, like, normal. Like, I mean, I moved here in 2020 to start covering this team. So this is the most normal training camp experience for me. And it's so great to see everybody. Like, I think the hardest part is getting used to that commute to Lake Forest from downtown there and back is like, all right, I have to like mentally prepare myself for the ride home when they're all done. But it's so great. And there's no conditioning test, but it makes you like, you're just excited. Cause like I live for football season. Like this is why I got into this career and this job. So it's like, it's exciting. Cause you know, these dog days of camp and I'm not even out there practicing and working hard, but it's like that new fresh start. It's like first day of school for all of us. We're excited to see our friends and like all the whole thing. Yeah,
exactly. So I got one question for you, Caitlin, before you get out of here. So I hate to put you on the spot here, but over under eight wins for the Bears this season.
Oh, he's going to do it. Yes.
I got to do it.
Under.
Woo. Why do you think under?
I think it's going to be like 4 or 5.
Really? Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to be positive and I hope I'm wrong. I hope they win 12 games, but I'm just trying to be realistic. I think it's going to be under, but I hope, I hope this season we are excited about players that like are getting a second chance or like making a name for themselves. So that part excites me.
Yeah, my pick is 9 wins and everyone thinks I'm absolutely nuts, but because
you're right.
you look at this, let me break this down to you, right? I compare this Bears team to like the Tennessee Titans, right? And I think Justin Fields is more talented than Ryan Tannehill, but you talk about early on in the season, trying to get his confidence up. We have two great running backs. We're gonna be playing great defense just like them. Right, we're going to be a defensive heavy team that runs the football and wears teams down. So I think it's going to come down to that. You know, when the game is close in the fourth quarter, last year we didn't run the ball as well. Even though the whole game we kind of abandoned it, they're going to stick with the run, grind teams down. And I think that's how they're going to win some of these tight games. That's why I say 9. And you look at what happened with Matt Nagy, right? When he first came, nobody had any expectations and they had the great season that they did. So I think it's going to be similar to that. Maybe not as many wins as they did with Nagy, but I think at least 9. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
I hope so, because it's much more enjoyable to cover a team that's winning.
Exactly. They'll be more likely to let you interview them. You know, when stuff's going well, you're like, hey, can I get in? Like, nope, not today. No, I'm not talking.
I don't got time. I got treatment. Like, oh, yeah, okay.
Ain't nobody got no time for that, right?
No. I'm gonna hold off on mine because the only thing about it is I'm probably at 7, dude. I'm at 7 right now, but I want to see them play in the preseason. The reason why I'm at 7, Caitlin, is I do just see opportunity. Commanders, Texans, Falcons, Jets, Giants.
They have
the Lions twice.
Schedule. That's why I'm saying 9.
The Lions twice. Schedule. And I've been telling Corey this one too. Don't sleep on them versus the 49ers week 1 with Trey Lance in his first start on the road, just because if you're ever going to beat a good team, you beat them week 1. So I don't know. There's areas. Yeah. I see areas.
I hope this optimism shines through and prevails because I would love it. I would love it.
I'm hoping we can save this clip. So when I said at least 9, all right, let's go.
We'll put it everywhere if it comes to fruition.
Exactly. If not, you can rub it in my face and say you were right.
Optimism will always reign supreme here at Believe in Bears. Caitlin Sharkey, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're so excited to see your content and your coverage of the Bears all season long. If you can, for our audience, throw out any socials or any ways that people can check out your work throughout the season. You're doing great stuff. Congratulations with WGN. And thank you so much for coming back on the pod.
Thank you. I'm excited to be at WGN. We do GN Sports 7 nights a week. It's a great show, 10:30 on WGN. And then I'm at K-Rose Sharkey on Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to another season of Bears coverage, a normal season of like Bears coverage, and whatever that brings me, because I never know.
And Joey, what you don't know about her is she's a golfer too. I see her hit the links a couple times. So
I'm
a big time golfer. Yeah.
I'm not good, but I enjoy going out there and giving it my best. So yeah, hey, I gotta get out there soon before golfing weather's gone here.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, when you're not hitting it well, you just have a couple drinks and then it makes everything that much better.
Absolutely.
You know
what I mean? always.
I'm not gonna find that ball. I'm just dropping. Let's just do it. Today's episode of Believe in Bears is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Promo code BELIEV50, BLEAV50, for 50% off your first welcome bonus. Corey, man, great to see you. Great episode. Thanks so much for coming on. Caitlin, take us home on another great episode, my man.
Yeah, it was another great episode. Thanks, Caitlin, for coming on. We're going to have to check in on with you later in training camp, and excited for this season. I think the Bears are going to surprise a lot of people. I'm hoping that they get that 9-win total at least this season. Run the football, play great defense, bear down, baby. Let's get it.
Corey said it best. Bear down. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other, and we will see you next week.
Do you believe?